The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Friday, December 30th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to our final podcast of 2011. So great to have you here. We will be back here live tomorrow night, Saturday night, for New Year's Eve. We're going to count down to 2012 in all four U.S. continental time zones. So we're going to come on at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, so we can count down to midnight. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. And we'll go all the way through midnight Pacific time, or maybe even later, as we count down through all of the time zones in the U.S. So join us. Bring a bag of weed if you got it. And if you don't, maybe you can get a virtual contact high with the rest of us as we count down 2011 and into 2012. All sorts of great stuff coming up on the Normal Network in 2012. Of course, we've got our new lineup and our new time, 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You'll be able to hear us live, followed by an hour of live Toker Talk Radio. And we're hoping by being in the later hours, people will be off work. We can get some more live listeners and more live callers. We're also expanding the live lineup, hoping to have a live show on at 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern time every weeknight, and some good shows coming down the pike here, so stay tuned for that. Plus, all of the music and the regular regional podcast you've come to know and love here on the Normal Network. Also, in the afternoons, we're expanding the video lunch. An hour before video lunch, we're going to have Cannabis Cure TV, and an hour after the video lunch, we're going to have Token Daily. And in between, the regular normal video lunch, where we have the normal TV news, as well as some of my radical rants and highlights of the fun that we've had all across this great country promoting the legalization of cannabis. Now, as you know, this week we've been doing recorded podcasts in order to get ready for this network upgrade that we're doing. And we've been covering the top 10 lists for 2011, like a lot of places do this time of year. If you missed any of them, just go on back to the website, stash.normal.org, or our podcast feed. You should be able to find those podcasts for download. We covered the top 10 Reefer Madness stories on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the top 10 cannabis science stories. And yesterday were the top 10 stupid stoner stories. Today, we are going to cover the top 10 people in marijuana in 2011. So stay tuned. We're going to take a little break here, give you a message from our sponsor, weedmaps.com, who's helping us to launch this new network in 2012. And we're looking for more sponsors for the Normal Network and more podcasts as well. If you got any information on that, send me an email at stash@normal.org. When we come back, the top 10 people in marijuana in 2011.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the
sacred smoke. All right, welcome back. Before we get started, let me make clear that this list is not the best people, and it's not the worst people, and it's not even the most important people. It's especially not Normal's official endorsement or condemnation of anybody listed. This is merely my review of some of the stories that I've covered in cannabis law reform and some of the people involved, some of whom you'll recognize and others who appear briefly in a news report and are then forgotten. But I felt they deserved a little recognition for how they impacted 2011. In fact, if you count them all up, it's probably more than 10 people. So without further ado, here they are, my top 10 people in marijuana in 2011. Number 10, William Breeze, journalism defeating unscientific and inaccurate DUID laws in Colorado. When you say medical marijuana to most Americans, they will think California. But Colorado has actually the most regulated and state-developed medical marijuana program in the country. Per capita, Denver has far more medical marijuana dispensaries than Los Angeles or the San Francisco-Oakland area. So I had no doubt that someone from Colorado would have to be included on this list. Unfortunately, most of the activism headlines out of Colorado in 2011 detailed the kind of immaturity and shenanigans that reflect poorly on marijuana activism. 2011 saw Miguel Lopez hectoring a legislator into dropping a patient privacy amendment, lecturing legislative committees, and accused of stealing and destroying legalization petitions. Corey Donahue was jailed for disrupting a meeting organizing supporters of a legalization initiative, and he had his Crazy for Justice propose making April 20th a state holiday. And he's accused of stealing documents from the state's Medical Marijuana Enforcement Division, which is now awaiting retrial because a mistrial was declared because Miguel Lopez was filming the jury selection. Also, Kathleen Chippy, Robert Chase, and Laura Crejo boasted openly about their active opposition to legalization efforts. Thankfully, the pot critic of Denver's alt-weekly, Westward, comes to the rescue with an inspiring tale of one journalist's use of the scientific method to help defeat bad anti-cannabis legislation. Colorado had proposed a 5 nanogram per milliliter per se DUID standard, sort of the idea represented by a 0.08 blood alcohol level to supposedly net drunk drivers. The problem is that cannabis isn't alcohol. The science shows no reliable impairment standard for THC for every person. Marijuana smokers can test above 5 nanograms without displaying any impairment, and frequent consumers, like medical marijuana patients, can be way above 5 nanograms with no recent consumption at all. Breathes, a patient, took it upon himself to abstain from marijuana use for 15 hours. He was then tested and found to be at 13.5 nanograms per milliliter, even as he was completely sober after a night of restful sleep. This front page news and subsequent support from new studies and a deadlocked task force of experts forced the Colorado legislators to kill the proposal, which, sadly, was then embraced by... Number 9, Allison Holcomb, New Approach Washington's Legalization Adopts Colorado's Defeated DUID Provision. Washington State is poised in 2012 to have a marijuana legalization proposal on the ballot that stands a serious chance of winning. Allison Holcomb, the drug policy director at ACLU of Washington, has done a remarkable job lining up high-profile supporters, including travel guru Rick Steves, city attorney for Seattle Pete Holmes, former U.S. attorney John McKay, the man who locked up Mark Emery, and former FBI Special Agent in charge of Seattle's division, Charles Mandigo, as well as securing the big dollar funding an initiative like this needs to be successful. However, controversy within the Washington marijuana movement erupted as activists got wind of the details within I-502, the Holcomb-sponsored marijuana legalization initiative. ACLU's polling showed the two biggest obstacles to legalization support among the public are, "What about the children?" and "Beware the stoned drivers." To assuage the public's fear of stoned teenagers, I-502 sets a 21 age limit and zero tolerance for any use by drivers in that age group. More controversially, to mitigate the stoned driver fear, I-502 adopts the same 5 nanograms per milliliter per se DUID standard that had just been defeated in Colorado. That DUID standard has caused longtime legalization advocates, including Normal attorney Douglas Hyatt, Normal board member Jeff Steinborn, and Seattle HempFest director Vivian McPeak, to publicly condemn I-502. To their credit, none of them have been arrested for stealing from or disrupting their opposition, a la Colorado above. It will be up to the voters in the Evergreen State to decide whether a few innocent tokers jailed on DUID is worth the potential of all tokers being innocent of possession. Number 8. Willie Nelson, the case of the living legend and the evaporating marijuana. Bless Willie Nelson, he's been a lifetime supporter of Normal and voices many pro-legalization ads on our radio show. He's always been synonymous with pot smoking. But this year, he was one of the 850,000 plus arrests for marijuana possession. The case of Willie Nelson in Sierra Blanca, Texas, shone a spotlight on the idiocy of marijuana prohibition. In its prosecution, it highlighted the disparity of the justice system when it comes to drugs and the rich and famous versus the poor and anonymous. The fallout has been a nascent political movement and another successful year of touring for the 78-year-old. In late 2010, Willie was busted by Border Patrol when his tour bus passed through Sierra Blanca, Texas. Cops seized 6 ounces of marijuana, according to the reports. In response, Willie notified Steve Bloom of Celeb Stoner that he was calling for a teapot party to promote the cause of legalization, which in 2011 gained mainstream political coverage for endorsing Republican Gary Johnson for president before backpedaling to account for the singer's support of Democrat Dennis Kucinich. As winter 2011 gave way to spring, the 6 ounces of marijuana somehow became just 3 ounces of marijuana. The county attorney joked, quote, "Between me and the sheriff, we threw out enough of it or smoked enough so that there's only 3 ounces, which is within my jurisdiction," end quote. But the traditional media didn't get the joke when they reported Willie would be able to get out of jail time if he sang "Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain" in court and paid a fine. The judge confirmed the hoax and said Willie could just plead guilty by mail and pay a fine. Also in the spring of 2011, 11 hours drive across the state in Tyler, Texas, a jury sentenced Henry Walter Wooten to 35 years in prison. That's 420 months. Dig the irony. For the possession of 4.5 ounces of marijuana. He did have 2 felony convictions from around 2 dozen years ago, one for having a gun without a permit and another for selling cocaine. Most of all, he can't sing "Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain" worth a damn. This summer, prosecutors agreed to let Willie plead guilty not to 3 ounces of marijuana, but just possession of paraphernalia, which put him out $780 in fines and court costs. In that deal, there was no punishment or acknowledgement of possession of any marijuana. But so far, the judge isn't accepting that, saying the singer doesn't deserve, quote, special treatment. Number 7. Patricia Spotted Crow, single mother of 4, imprisoned a decade over $31 worth of pot. Every year there are busts of marijuana consumers that tug at the heartstrings. This year, the tale of Patricia Spotted Crow in Oklahoma garnered national attention. From AOL News, Patricia Marilyn Spotted Crow, a 25-year-old mother of 4, and her mother, Delita Starr, age 50, sold an $11 dime bag to a police informant in Oklahoma on December 31, 2009. The informant returned 2 weeks later to buy $20 worth of marijuana. Spotted Crow, who worked in a nursing home before her arrest, told the Oklahoman she did it to get some extra money. The women were charged with drug distribution and possession of a dangerous substance in the presence of a minor because Spotted Crow's children were in the house during the transaction. They were offered plea deals of 2 years in prison, but decided to enter a guilty plea instead, a gamble they took because neither had prior convictions and because the amount of drugs sold was so small. The gamble did not pay off. Spotted Crow was given sentences of 10 years in prison for distribution and 2 years for possession to run concurrently. When she was picked up to be taken to prison, she had marijuana in her jacket pocket, which led to another 2 year concurrent sentence and a fine of nearly $1,300. The judge in this story feels like she was compassionate in not sentencing the grandmother of Spotted Crow's children, ages 9, 4, 3, and 1, to any jail time, so she can raise the grandkids while mom is in prison. Gee, thanks, judge. The family is so struggling to make ends meet, they sell dime bags, so let's give grandma 4 mouths to feed all by herself. But at least this high-level criminal mastermind is behind bars. Oklahoma is safe now that $31 worth of weed was taken off the streets and an underpaid nursing home attendant is locked up. Number 6. Mackenzie Allen, former cops legalization question tops presidential survey. Continuing a theme he established even as a candidate, President Obama solicited the American people on their concerns on the most pressing issues facing America today. In January, he utilized YouTube to have citizens ask video questions to be voted on for a response. Mackenzie Allen, a retired law enforcement officer who represents LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, asked the top-rated question, which garnered over 13,000 votes, over 1% of all votes cast. Now, people could vote for more than one question, of course. Of the 193,000 people who voted, more than 7% of them voted for the LEAP question. That's about 1 out of 14 people who took the time to submit a video and vote on them. The question asked by Mackenzie was, "As a police officer, I saw how waging the war on drugs has cost $1 trillion and thousands of lives, but does nothing to reduce drug use. Should we discuss legalizing marijuana and other drugs, which would eliminate the violent criminal market?" As an honorable mention, our own Eric Altieri in September authored Normal's legalization question, which garnered the most votes in the We the People survey. This latest incarnation of Change.gov, Opens for Questions, Citizens Briefing Book, Ideas for Change, and Ask Obama marked the 9th time the president has asked and the 9th time the American people have screamed, overwhelmingly, legalize it. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. Number 5. U.S. Attorney Laura E. Duffy, one of four engaged in crackdown on California medical marijuana. The four U.S. attorneys in California, apparently acting without direction from President Obama or Attorney General Holder, moved to crack down on what they consider to be abuses of medical marijuana laws of California. Referring to Proposition 215, the 1996 initiative that accepted medical use of marijuana from criminal prosecution, Andrew Barat Jr., U.S. Attorney for California's Central District, said, quote, "What we have seen, unfortunately, is the Compassionate Use Act has really turned into the Commercial Use Act," end quote. It remains unclear to me why federal U.S. attorneys think they have standing to evaluate what is and isn't an abuse of state law, but I'm one of those weirdos who's read the 9th and 10th Amendments to the Constitution. But I've singled out Laura E. Duffy of the Four because she went above and beyond her colleagues in not only ignoring her boss's previous policy statements and the Ninth and Tenth Amendments, but in also threatening the First Amendment over medical marijuana. From California Watch. Federal prosecutors are preparing to target newspapers, radio stations, and other media outlets that advertise medical marijuana dispensaries in California, another escalation in the Obama administration's newly invigorated war against the state's pot industry. U.S. Attorney Laura E. Duffy, whose district includes Imperial and San Diego counties, said marijuana advertising is the next area she's, quote, going to be moving on to as part of the enforcement efforts in Southern California, end quote. Duffy said she could not speak for the three other U.S. attorneys covering the state, but noted their efforts have been coordinated so far. Quote, I'm not just seeing print advertising, Duffy said in an interview with California Watch and KQED. I'm actually hearing radio and seeing TV advertising. It's gone mainstream. Not only is it inappropriate, one has to wonder what kind of message we're sending to the children. It's against the law, end quote. Number four. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer loves federal marijuana policy, hates federal immigration policy. There was no shortage of state governors I could have chosen for this spot. New Jersey's reprehensible Chris Christie has stonewalled every step of the way in implementing the No Garden States medical marijuana law, even trying to turn the mandated six dispensaries into only four, limited to growing but three strains statewide that measure less than 10% THC. Montana's quirky Brian Schweitzer won praise for vetoing an attempt to repeal medical marijuana, only to earn scorn for allowing Repeal Light to pass without his signature. Washington's spineless Chris Gregoire line-item vetoed a legislative measure to establish regulated medical marijuana dispensaries on the pretense of protecting state workers, as did Rhode Island's invertebrate Lincoln Chafee when the feds sent a threatening letter. But then Gregoire and Chafee petitioned the feds to reschedule cannabis so they could operate their dispensaries. Maryland's sensible Martin O'Malley signed an expansion of affirmative defense, and Delaware's compassionate Jack Markell signed his state into becoming the 16th medical marijuana state. Meanwhile, Oklahoma's vile Mary Fallon signed a law that could mean a life sentence for making pot brownies. However, for sheer, bold-faced, unadulterated political hypocrisy, I have to recognize Arizona's two-faced Governor Jan Brewer. First, she campaigned against Prop 203, but later said she believed in the will of the people who passed that medical marijuana initiative. Then, she was lecturing police that they didn't do enough to campaign against Prop 203 while admitting that she was too busy to do more herself. Then, she was stonewalling on the issuance of dispensary permits that the will of the people approved, because she was suing to see that the will of the people would be denied by a federal court. In other words, if the people of Arizona pass a law to get illegal marijuana to Arizonans because Washington, D.C. is out of touch, then the will of the people be damned. Governor Brewer will sue in a federal court to uphold federal law. But if the people of Arizona pass a law to get illegal Mexicans out of Arizona because Washington, D.C. is out of touch, then the will of the people is sacred. Governor Brewer will sue in a federal court to uphold the state law. I have no idea on the governor's position on illegal Mexican immigrants who need medical marijuana, but I'll bet it's confusing. Number three, former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, former Republican, now Libertarian presidential candidate. On the other end of the governor spectrum, we find former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson. The two-term Republican governor had been touting his Our America initiative in 2010 and appearing at Normal Conference and other pro-marijuana festivals in full-throated support of legalization of marijuana for adult use. His vocal support only grew in April 2011 as he announced his run as a Republican for the presidential nomination of that party, and not only continued to appear at pro-legalization rallies, but also had Willie Nelson's Teapot Party briefly endorse his presidential run. Alas, the Republican Party and traditional media didn't agree and denied Johnson all but a couple of chances on the national debate stage to state his case. The marijuana issue was ignored, despite strong public inquiry into it, even among Republicans. Johnson continued to speak out on the issue to those who would listen, but this week he has abandoned his bid for the Republican nomination and taken up a presidential campaign for the Libertarian ticket. To his credit, Representative Ron Paul remains in the race for the Republican nomination and even comes in second in the current polling in advance of next Tuesday's Iowa caucus. Paul, a longtime supporter of Normal's mission, has also introduced the Industrial Hemp Farming Act of 2011 and been a co-sponsor of other pro-marijuana federal legislation. But the last time Representative Paul spoke directly to an audience of marijuana activists, it was 1988. Number two, Representative Barney Frank, the Lion of Legalization, retires from Congress. After 16 terms in the U.S. House of Representatives, Liberal Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts is set to retire. He's sponsored or co-sponsored just about every pro-marijuana bill that has ever unfortunately died in Congress. He's spoken directly to pro-marijuana audiences. For me, though, my favorite Barney Frank moments are when he is chiding conservatives on their decidedly big government, wasteful spending, anti-states' rights support of marijuana prohibition. We'll miss you, Barney Frank.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrest of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORNL.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
And now, the number one person in marijuana for 2011, Stephen D'Angelo, Harborside CEO, rebukes recreational legalization on weed wars. Last year, I was very encouraged by one Bay Area medical marijuana entrepreneur. In 2010, Richard Lee put $1.5 million of his own money to legalize marijuana for adult use, regardless of the reason why someone might choose to use it. For months, I had predicted that the longer medical marijuana was an industry, the more that industry would fight to protect itself, even from legalization. In 2011, I have been discouraged to have been proven right by another Bay Area medical marijuana entrepreneur, Stephen D'Angelo of Harborside Health Center, the world's largest marijuana dispensary. In January, the IRS was auditing the books of Harborside, building a case that the dispensary was in violation of IRS Section 280E, which explicitly bans any tax deductions related to trafficking in controlled substances. The pressure on D'Angelo wasn't surprising. Quote, "If 280E is applied literally and strictly," D'Angelo said, "it has the potential to close down Harborside and every other medical cannabis dispensary," end quote. In an effort apparently calculated to steer the IRS away from any claim that Harborside's business might not be serving strictly medical needs, D'Angelo began casting aspersions on Richard Lee's legalization effort, which he had publicly supported the year prior. Quote, "I warned people who were pushing Prop 19 that losing elections would have consequences," D'Angelo said. "In large part, what we're seeing is the consequences of an overreach by our community," end quote. D'Angelo published a manifesto entitled At the Crossroads, or Wellness Not Intoxication, where he chides the legalization supporters fighting for a right to recreational cannabis use, saying, quote, "Very little cannabis use is actually for recreational purposes or intoxication. This truth is not negated by the fact that many users of cannabis buy into the misconception that their own use is recreational," end quote. Stephen and his brother Andrew D'Angelo then became the subjects of a Discovery Channel reality show called Weed Wars. In the press tours promoting the show, both brothers clearly said, quote, "I don't believe that any psychoactive substance should be used for recreation," end quote, and, quote, "We do not support the legalization of cannabis for recreational purposes," end quote. Activists were outraged, and what followed from Stephen D'Angelo were semantic explanations and rhetorical absurdities. This all culminated in the fourth installment of Weed Wars, closing with D'Angelo saying, quote, "I don't believe in legalizing cannabis for recreational purposes. I think cannabis should be used for purposes of wellness," end quote. Again, activists were outraged, pointing out D'Angelo was a lifelong legalization activist. D'Angelo responded again with more rhetoric about believing nobody should be subject to criminal penalties for marijuana and justifications about promoting wellness and dissing recreation being just a strategy for achieving legalization, which he's told the public he's against. He even tries to shift the blame to editing at the Discovery Channel when his appearances on live TV show he meant exactly what he said after the editing on Weed Wars. And that's it, folks. That's your top 10 people in marijuana for 2011. My apologies to all of the very deserving people who have been left off the list. So many people I could have included. Jody Emery, Cannabis Cure UK, so many of our friends, so many of the activists that we know, so many of the prohibitionists who made such a splash. So by no means is 10 the limit to how many people that had a big effect in 2011. It's just the 10 that I felt strongest about writing about. So if you have any other nominations or suggestions, go ahead and add them at the comments at our blog at stash.normal.org. Well, folks, that's it for 2011, our fourth year of doing this show here for Normal. We go into 2012, approaching our fifth year anniversary, and we will also hit 1,000 shows with me as the host, and I hope you can join us for all of them. For everyone here at the Normal Foundation, thanks for joining us. Don't forget to stop by on New Year's Eve between 8 and 1 in the morning Pacific time, or 11 and, 4 in the morning Eastern time. We're counting down all the time zones into 2012, where I'm damn sure we're going to legalize somewhere in this country. We got a lot of stuff going for us. We are winning. Public opinion is on our side, and we will continue to bring you the education, the interviews, and the music that inspires all the activists out there listening in cyberspace. Thanks for being a part of it. Our email address here is stash@normal.org. Any comments, suggestions, questions, queries, or statements are welcome. Send them our way. We'll talk to you on January 2nd, Monday, 2012, with Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John and plenty more here from Rolla J Studios. Again, thanks for being our audience. Thanks for being supportive of Normal. Thanks for giving me the greatest job an activist could ever have. And until next time, until next year, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.